News Talk 790 WNIS. Thank you for being with us. It's the show all about CBD, THC. Dr. D is here from Hemp Haven Wellness, 726 Carrotoke Highway in beautiful Moyock, North Carolina. Her website, hemphavenwellness.com, 252-340-3557, hemphavenwellness.com. She delivers. You can order online. Same-day delivery in some cases still going on, right,
from Hemp Haven? Absolutely.
And that new location, how long have you been in the new location now? It's been about a year, right?
Just a little over a year. After we fled from Virginia.
After you fled from the Commonwealth of Virginia and headed south to North Carolina. In a beautiful up-and-coming area that is Moyock, and a lot of things happening down there. Every time I go down there, there's more houses being built and new stores and restaurants and things of that nature. It's definitely an up-and-coming area. It has been for many years now. But you've got more space out there. You've got the full team of cannabis nurses. So if anybody... doesn't matter how much they already know. If they know absolutely nothing about these compounds and what they do and how they might be able to help them, or if they have a little bit of knowledge and are looking to expand upon that, you're the right person to talk to. You're the person to help, and they can walk in. You're open 7 days a week, right? From, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m.?
Most days, yeah.
Most days, and then till 8 p.m. on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Absolutely.
At Hemp Haven Wellness. What else is going on at Hemp Haven? I know you've got the cabana.
Yeah, Canna Cabana is on track to open Memorial Day weekend. We launched last year. This is an outdoor consumption lounge. We've talked extensively about that. This is the new paradigm. This is moving away from, you know, your bars that sell alcohol, your drunk drivers, et cetera. And when I put together the Canna Cabana model, we based it off of all of the states that have actually legalized outdoor consumption lounge, public consumption lounge, because it's a conundrum. It's a challenge to use your products and socialize out in public, right? So Canna Cabana is now launching. We're hoping that we're going to have a great summer season with that, with entertainment, events, live music. So we're working on putting together a schedule for that. And, of course, this month is everyone's favorite 420. So we're putting some specials together. I have a wonderful resident artist. Her name is Faith Guard, and she is a wonderful artist, and she is going to be in our store promoting Mother's Day boxes, personalized Mother's Day gift boxes. So if your mom tends to, you know, inclined to partake, we're going to have a gift personalized, the opportunity to personalize a gift card at one of our 420 event activities.
I might have to take you up on that, because it's hard for a son to shop for his mom, because
it's getting harder, isn't it?
You never know what to get other than some nice piece of jewelry that you find somewhere.
And, you know, it's always, don't give your mom an iron or a blender, right?
So how many times can you get a gift card?
Yeah, gift cards are passe. So we're figuring that we'll put together a personalized Mother's Day gift box, and Faith is going to decorate it with some, you know, beautiful Mother's Day images, and then you'll be able to select what items to put into your personalized gift box that is especially tailored for your mom.
So I love that.
Things are picking up very, very quickly in cannabis land. We've now, at least from my Hemp Haven standpoint, I've now been operating for 6 years. Cannabis nursing is, of course, a new subspecialty of nursing, recognized in 2023 by the American Nursing Association. We now have movement, of course, at the federal level regarding marijuana legalization, and that was something implemented by executive order when President Trump in December of 2025 wanted to move marijuana off of Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. So we're still seeing that in play. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I'm pretty much bet it wouldn't happen this year. But because of all this attention, cannabis is on the move. It really is. And we are so busy because of this, either from the perspective of cannabis as medicine, which has always been our focus as a cannabis nursing professional, but we also now are seeing it in one of the best models that we can come up with in healthcare, which is harm reduction. That is our model in cannabis. Harm reduction. And one of the most significant factors coming out of this is the cannabis-infused drinks. The cannabis-infused drinks. It's hard for us to keep them in stock. I will here shamelessly promote that, you know, I share goodies with WNES and the station, and I love to get, we love to get feedback. It's helped us to refine our inventory selection.
She wants to ensure that we're her favorite, that she's our favorite as the expert.
I'm shamefully promoting these beverages, these hemp-derived beverages. And today, wouldn't you know it, Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson has gotten into the hemp-derived beverage industry. And we carry him now. We carry his beverage lines. And when you see celebrities who are well-known for their, you know, marijuana use, right? Willie Nelson has had his own Willie's Reserve line for many years, but that is in the legal dispensary model on the cannabis marijuana type side. Never in a million years, if you had told me 6 years ago, I would be able to offer Willie Nelson products that are derived from hemp, I wouldn't have believed it. But here we are. And this is just an example of how the industry is now moving quickly. And it's because mainly, I think, because the cannabis-infused drinks follow this harm reduction model. A lot of research is coming out about this, and a lot of movement is actually based on how these cannabis drinks, cannabis-infused hemp-derived products. We talked before about how the Chicago Arena will be offering cannabis-infused hemp-derived drinks in their season this year. We sell those drinks as well. Those are called Senorita drinks. They're very popular. So this is where the research is now proving the concept. Proof of concept is coming from us in regards to our model of harm reduction. Here is something that just came out about how harm reduction is providing consumers a choice. And just a few months ago in the Journal of Psychoactive Drugs, they found that when you begin using cannabis or hemp-derived drinks, these individuals who are prone to drinking alcohol reduce their binge drinking and reduce their alcohol consumption overall. So now we're getting to the point where alcohol kills. And the most up-to-date data are related to a Canadian study where a panel of 20 experts who are in Canada, where Canada has actually legalized marijuana nationally in 2018, this panel of 20 experts that were reviewing public health concerns, evaluating 16 different drugs across 10 dimensions, right? Public safety, personal safety, family, social, employment, etc. And what did they find? They found that alcohol and tobacco cause far more harm to people who consume them and to society. We suffer from drunk drivers.
Sure.
Overall, than marijuana does. And this was a study that was just published in the Journal of Psychopharmacology, and they found that alcohol causes the most harm overall, followed by tobacco, non-prescription opioids, and cocaine, methamphetamine, and finally rounding the track is cannabis. So at the very end of this drug line, tobacco, alcohol, tobacco, non-prescription opioids, cocaine, and methamphetamines, they found that these other substances were more harmful. And what's ironic is each one of these is allowed by law.
I was just thinking there's several things that are more dangerous than cannabis, and yet cannabis right now sits at Schedule 1, moving to Schedule 3, when you've got all these other things that
cannabis,
of which are
and
the
marijuana,
government says are less dangerous.
And marijuana at Schedule 1, the broadest definition of Schedule 1 drugs are they provide no medicinal value, which is in complete contrast to the patent that the government owns on it as a medicine issued in 2003. So these other drugs that are more harmful than cannabis are used every day by Americans and or healthcare, because people think, oh, cocaine and methamphetamines, well, you can't buy those. Well, you don't buy them. No, healthcare uses them. Cocaine is used in endoscopy suites across the United States because cocaine numbs the back of the throat. So cocaine is an actual anesthetic that does not sit at Schedule 1. And methamphetamines. Well, what are our methamphetamines now? They are our Adderalls, our Ritalins, our Vyvanse. These are prescription methamphetamines, and they have been found to be more dangerous. And we could go on and on about non-prescription opioids. And that is the number one harm reduction model between alcohol, tobacco, and non-prescription opioids that are now readily accessible to the American public, that Americans are finally waking up. And this is where we are now looking at overall health. Alcohol, the number one, and I will bang this drum, slip of the tongue, forever. I used to be a bourbon girl, right? I didn't mind a beer, especially our microbrews. But I don't think I have touched alcohol in years. And if I do, it's very, very socially.
Yeah.
Because I go back to these drinks. And this is where we now know that these drinks are going to provide such wonderful benefits to healthcare, harm reduction. The nice thing about these drinks is they are microdosed. For instance, I brought you a Willie's with a 5 milligram, which is the National Institute on Drug Abuse's medium. Basically, this is the standard dose that most people begin to feel the effects. And of course, Willie, you're going to go up to 10 milligrams if you need it. But that's where you can decide how much am I going to use. And the nice thing about these drinks is that they are basically 1.5 hours. You get it on board. You're going to feel it within a 15-20 minute time frame. And as long as you're managing your party, as long as you're not, you know, pounding them down like you would an alcohol or a tequila shot, you are now on the clock for about an hour and a half. Now we're moving into a realm that you can even predict an effect if you're using them for after work. You need help getting to sleep. You're out there cutting the grass and doing things that are not too pleasant around the house, but you need a little bit of an uplift. This is where even the feds are starting to look at how these drinks are beneficial. Here's another headline that just came out. Former congressmen and alcohol stakeholders push for hemp THC regulations over prohibition. This is interesting because this former congressman, Democratic congressman by the name of David Trone, T-R-O-N-E, he was a representative from Maryland. But what's interesting about Mr. Trone is he actually is now the owner of Total Wine and More. And guess what Total Wine and More sells?
Yes, they're starting to sell the
THC hemp-derived beverages.
I've seen them in there.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. And in fact, we've discussed before about how DoorDash and Total Wine in Virginia are being sued because 5 medical dispensaries in Northern Virginia claim economic disadvantage. Not harm, economic disadvantage, that you can order these from Total Wine and More right now versus getting a state-issued medical marijuana card and buying from their dispensary. So this was announced. The Mr. Trone from Total Wine and More was part of a Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America event in Las Vegas. Think Las Vegas. What's going on in Vegas? Why, they got, for instance, they got consumption lounges. Planet 51.
Right.
If you haven't gone to the Planet 51 website, you should take a look at it because they are definitely in the cannabis side, and wouldn't you expect that from Vegas, of course. But Mr. Trone basically said this needs to come to legislation and regulations attention right now in order to avert an industry-wide upheaval. Both on the hemp side, as we look at the prohibition model moving back into November, as well as how this hemp-derived beverages are being a total disruptor in the alcohol world. This is, Mr. Trone said, this is now an adult beverage category. Whether it's a beer tonight or a glass of wine or an adult beverage, you're going to go home. And so the problem that we're going to see is if we try to move back into a prohibition model like Virginia has done, where they have eliminated all hemp in Virginia, all hemp products are gone if they contain more than 2 milligrams of THC. So what Virginia in this has done is going to be creating an underground economy. What's that underground economy? Illicit cannabis sales. And you can't tax cannabis illicitly, illicit sales. You can't card and make sure that they're age appropriate. I'm pretty sure that they don't lab test. They don't provide safe lab testing for those products. So another interesting comment here is from a hemp industry stakeholder, a beverage industry stakeholder. The clock is ticking, according to Charlie Marinoff of the Breakthrough Beverage Group, a stakeholder in the adult beverage world. And he says that the Congress must dial back language to allow naturally derived cannabinoids and only prohibit the synthetic items. This is what we have been calling on for such a long time, is we need regulation, at least in my industry, the hemp industry. And because we are considered a high-risk prohibited entity, Virginia doesn't want anything to do with hemp, as if it even has THC in it, we don't get the regulatory attention and overview that we require. And this is where you're getting your gas station illicit, unsafe products. Just off the presses this morning, D.C. Mayor. So D.C. is under their own rules regarding marijuana. Medical marijuana, good. They're still trying to figure out the adult use recreational side. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, but the illicit market thrives. Well, today, Mayor Muriel Bowser of D.C., proposes to let medical marijuana and alcohol companies partner on THC drinks, to be allowing the medical marijuana dispensaries in D.C. to provide hemp-derived, cannabis-infused, alcohol-free beverages. It's over. It's over. When you see Willie Nelson entering the industry with his line of products, and he's got a vast line of products. We're carrying all the things that he offers right now on our website and in the store. And then you're seeing all the way down to the nation's capital, where they're putting in regulations for locally licensed labs and making a 6% sales tax. What's interesting is if Mayor Bowser's regulation goes through, breweries and distilleries, where you typically get your alcohol, will not be allowed to sell these drinks. You will only be allowed to get them at the medical marijuana dispensaries. So you can't get them in bars, restaurants, liquor stores, or grocery stores. We're back to now hemp is becoming schizophrenic. Are we illicit? Are we illegal, like in Virginia? Are we going to be legal now in D.C., but only at the medical dispensaries? Are we legal in Total Wine? We're still in flux. We're still in the processes of figuring out. But really, it all comes down to back to the harm reduction model. Harm reduction here talks about reducing alcohol, reducing the risks associated to the body, to the individual, as well as the public. Here's another thing, another study that was published regarding reductions in different types of crime when legalizing marijuana across the board occurs. This study came out just about a month ago, and it was published in the journal Economic Modeling. And these researchers, Barnard College, Longwood, Jack Welch College of Business and Technology, they found that legalizing marijuana for adult use is linked to a gradual reductions in both violent crime and property crime. What's the distinction? Well, one, medical marijuana reduces property crime. Interesting. Whereas allowing recreational or adult use reduces violent crime. We're back to prohibitionists. It's a full-time job being a prohibitionist now. And prohibitionists love to ring the bell, danger, 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 Will Robinson. When this study was put out, they actually controlled for state-specific trends, meaning they took out confounding variables. And when they actually looked at the data regarding the impact on cannabis reform, they found that it doesn't happen overnight. So this is something that we can't promise. But the trend in cannabis when it is legalized, California, for example, has had medical marijuana since 1996, 20 years. So for these years, was that 30 years? 30 years. For these years, these trends in data analyses are indicating that we legalization across the board drives out crime, mainly due to removing the illicit market risk. No one's talking about those types of things. So between the social parameters regarding drunk driving and reducing alcohol dysfunction in the body to now reducing crime that affects everybody in today's world, we're seeing these trends continue. And I think it the time to prevent cannabis from being legalized is very short. I think 1 to 2 years max.
She's Dr. Denise Foster. More with her coming up. Hemphaven Wellness, hemphavenwellness.com. The phone number, 252-340-3557. She's at 726 Carrot Highway in Moyock, North Carolina, right below the Virginia border. And they're open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, until 8 p.m. And if you got a question for Dr. D, 757-627-7979. Or if you want to email, if you don't want to talk on the phone, leahwnis.com. More with Dr. D coming up.
Don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah, and I will.
News Talk 790 WNIS. Did I just almost forget the name of the radio station? What was that? My goodness. News Talk 790 WNIS.
Stop drinking the willies already.
I haven't even opened it yet. Dr. Denise Foster is here from Hemphaven Wellness. Hemphavenwellness.com is her website. Check her out. Check out the line of products that she has. You can get them delivered. You can go see her in person. She's open 7 days a week. 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., an extra hour, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays till 8 p.m., and you can have a consultation, a free consultation with a cannabis nurse like Dr. D and her great staff that she has over there. She's at 726 Carrot Highway, just below the Virginia border in Moyock. Again, hemphavenwellness.com. Dr. Denise Foster.
Yeah, I love our Canna fam. We call ourselves a happy place because even our Canna fam workers, our staff is just happy working there, right? Yeah. We're happy giving you education. We're happy giving you recommendations. We're happy to follow up with you, and you know, we just there's nothing downside to us when you integrate the legislation and the politicians and the judiciary. That's the downside right now. That's your risk, right? Bill Murray said that the funniest thing about cannabis is that you go to jail to use it. That's basically the biggest risk right there, and it hasn't changed. Well, it's changing now. And across the country, it's also changing for healthcare organizations. Listen to this. It's over for hospitals and healthcare facilities, because across the country, there are several states that are now advancing bills in their legislative bodies to let patients use medical marijuana in healthcare facilities. It's over. It's over. And this basically centers on the seriously ill paradigm, meaning the population of patients that is basically terminally ill, in hospice, end of life. These are quality of life issues. I worked a long time in hospice and end of life care. These older people are subjected to some very, very harsh psychotropic drugs. For instance, opioids, morphine. Morphine and Dilaudid, two of the harshest opioid narcotics that we can give, are given freely during these times of healthcare. And so across the country, in states where cannabis is legal, even at the medical level, they are now looking at presenting models to allow patients to be using their medical marijuana. Connecticut's legislature is proposing to allow terminally ill patients to access cannabis products in their healthcare facilities. And keep in mind that none of these include smoking or vaping products. These would all be edibles, tinctures, beverage enhancers, however you want to take it outside of the smoking and vaping, because nobody needs that nonsense. You know, you don't want to smell it. And we really don't promote smoking and vaping as a health healthy way to use it.
Sure.
The other thing that most of these healthcare organizations in these states are doing is they're still fringing. They're still betting on the fact that if the feds come down and say, hey, this is illegal, come on now, what are you doing? It's illegal. Because, of course, they're worried about reimbursement rates. They're worried about their audits from the CMS and from Medicare, Medicaid, VA. And, you know, they don't want to get dinged. So each one of these models has also said that if the Fed comes down, the federal legislation comes down and says this is illegal, they will remove the policy. So it's all in or none at all if it becomes a problem. So Connecticut is on board. Hawaii is on board. Hawaii is also limiting theirs to residential centers, again, for terminally ill patients with chronic diseases in their residential centers. Another state, as I look through my notes here, another state that's on board is Oregon. Oregon is also allowing certain health facilities such as hospices. In the committee that was testimony provided to make this decision, where they approved a House bill to allow patients with debilitating medical conditions to access medical marijuana in hospices, one of the Farah Chiachi, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that wrong, she is a representative in the House, said that this bill is an important tool to facilitate cannabis use as an alternative or addition to opioid use, making it a meaningful way for patients and families to be present in their last days and weeks. This is a quality of life and a quality of care issue. That's exactly what we're talking about. What do opioids do to you? Make you sleep, make you constipated, right? In fact, that's a diagnosis, opioid-induced constipation, and it sucks for our patients to be in pain as well as to have no ability to interact with loved ones and to feel depressed and sad and no sleep and no appetite. So it is a quality of life and a quality of care issue. And under the Oregon proposal, this makes my heart sing. Under this Oregon proposal, the Oregon State Board of Nursing would also prohibit disciplining a nurse who discusses, not administers, who just discusses the medical use of marijuana with a patient. Cannabis nursing is here. I know this because I've been one now for almost 15 years. We love what we do as cannabis nurses in our dispensary, and cannabis nurses are here to educate and discuss. And so in the Oregon Board of Nursing, they have actually said, yeah, we recognize that this is one of your responsibilities as a cannabis nurse. This is something that is a phenomenon that will quickly pick up steam as more states come on board. Here's another one. Washington State is now going to look at allowing terminally ill patients to use medical marijuana in their healthcare facilities. Virginia. Hello, Virginia. Legal marijuana from the adult use perspective is coming, but Virginia lawmakers in both chambers have already taken up advanced legislation to allow patients to use medical marijuana in hospitals. Let me repeat that. Medical marijuana will begin to be allowed in hospitals across Virginia. Hospices, nursing homes, assisted living facilities are also in this model. If you wanted to go look at the specific law itself, it's SB, State Bill 332. And it is building upon protecting healthcare professionals at hospices, nursing homes, and assisted facilities, living facilities that aid terminally ill patients in utilizing medical cannabis treatments from punishment by adding hospitals to the statute. It's interesting because not only are Virginia hospitals going to be looking at adding them to their hospital facility, the Virginia Department of Health is also creating a new working group to discuss the implementation process for providing cannabis products to patients within the medical care facility. Hospitals are going to add medical marijuana to their formulary. The first state that has said this is a go was out yesterday, April 1st. Not a joke. Colorado Governor Jared Polis has now signed a bill to allow medical marijuana in use in hospitals across Colorado. Wow. It is here, and this is going to provide another avenue for our medical marijuana patients. Now, you know me, my stance on marijuana is it's great if you want to get high. That's why I don't typically practice as a cannabis nurse in marijuana. It really doesn't have much purpose outside of this intoxicating and inebriating effect, which is fine, especially if you're home on the couch.
Sure.
Or going to bed.
Right.
Or going to be at a concert, walking the boardwalk for several hours, right? That's fine. But the other side, the hemp side, is where I have found the most benefit because, of course, we now can help titrate and reduce that risk of impairment and intoxicating products. And on the other side, the other non-intoxicating products, of which include CBD, its most famous, are now trialing a pilot program in Governor Polis's state of Colorado. As of April 1st yesterday, CBD is now going to be covered by Medicare and Medicare Advantage. It's like a soap opera up there in Washington. As I watched this roll across, we talked about this, I think, in January, because it rolled out of President Trump's executive order in December. Not only does that executive order want to move cannabis, marijuana type, from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, part of that executive order was that he had directed Dr. Mehmet Oz, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid agency, to begin developing a model for Medicare and Medicare Advantage to pay for CBD. And that pilot program has rolled out in Colorado as of yesterday. This is because research is undeniably showing us that millions of Americans use CBD as a substitute for painkillers and other medications. And this is the focus of our work at Hemp Haven. People are coming to us going, I need to get off opioids. I need to get off Tylenol and Advil. I want to reduce my blood pressure medicine, my anti-anxiety medicine, my depression medicine. We help with all of that. This is a study that was federally funded back from the National Institute on Drug Abuse and published in the journal Frontiers for Public Health. They found that 35% of adults in the United States, so over a third, are now reporting use of CBD. And specifically, they are using it as a substitute or adjunct supporting using with another medication. Conditions most frequently targeted: musculoskeletal and connective tissue disorders, joint pain, no pun intended, but we get a lot of that, right? Arthritic pain, musculoskeletal pain associated with autoimmune disorders, like multiple sclerosis and Lou Gehrig's disease, seizure disorders, muscle spasm disorders, anxiety and depression disorders. So all of this is showing, because that's the second thing that is being substituted, psychiatric disorders such as anxiety. And this is where over-the-counter drugs such as ibuprofen and Tylenol are now being replaced. Keep in mind that the Food and Drug Administration has already approved synthetic cannabinoids. What's that you say? Well, in 1985, that's when I was a young nurse in the dinosaur age, we were shocked when the FDA approved a synthetic THC called Marinol. Marinol, synthetic THC, has been approved by the FDA for use since 1985 for the conditions to treat chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. And while it does that, why do our patients not like taking Marinol? It makes them high. Mm-hmm. I don't like that feeling, especially if I'm already on chemotherapy and I already don't feel good. And of course, it's going to make me feel good, but I am also totally impaired with this. So the FDA has already approved one synthetic drug, Marinol, for THC. And in 2018, coincidentally, when the Farm Bill was passed, 2018, the FDA then approves synthetic CBD, and they named it Epidiolex. Epidiolex was approved by the FDA in 2018 for the treatment of children 1 year and age and older for uncontrollable seizure disorders. And these children who have been using synthetic CBD in a form known as Epidiolex have now been living through their young adulthood, to their young adulthood, out of their childhood, because their seizure disorders are being better controlled. This is going to be a race to get legalization passed, because now we have on two sides of the spectrum. We have Schedule 1 concerns, where we're looking at reducing Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. I'm not going to say this is why President Trump today announced that Attorney General Pam Bondi is out. I'm not a fan of Pam Bondi. Why? Because it was Pam Bondi who actually was one of the leading reasons why in Florida the adult legalization of marijuana was shot down. So you have medical marijuana in Florida, that's great. But as Attorney General in Florida, Pam Bondi prevented the adult legalization model from being implemented in the Sunshine State, where many of our retirees love to retire or snowbird. So we're not sure, of course, this being announced just today, but knowing that it was in December that President Trump directed an activity, we're already moving on the CBD side, on the hemp side, as they roll out this Medicare and Medicare Advantage coverage for CBD. So that's in place, but that was through different administration. That was through first RFK Jr., right, under the Department of Health and Human Services, and then he had to work in tandem with Dr. Mehmet Oz, who was the director of the CMS. So that's already already rolled out. I'm sure he's looking at Attorney General Bondi going, didn't I direct you to get this moving? So I think that there's still going to be some static ahead in the removal of Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 marijuana. And this is no more than evident than the judge. So as this rollout of the Medicare program began earlier this week and more noise was being made and we're paying attention to the headlines that say, hey, these are going to be the parameters. These are the regulations. This is what we see as far as, you know, it has to be lab tested. It has to be safe. It has to be approved up to a THC level that meets the current Farm Bill standards. Well, of course, don't you know that a huge group of prohibitionists filed an injunction March 31st saying, you can't use federal funds, Medicare Advantage, to pay for marijuana. We're not talking about marijuana. We're talking about the Farm Bill. We're talking about hemp. We're talking about products that are not even intoxicating. So when you look at the number of the prohibitionist groups, there were 10 or more prohibitionist groups who tried to file a temporary injunction on March 31st to prevent this Medicare pilot program from going through. And they listed their reasons. It's a huge, I've read the 160-plus page lawsuit, right? And the reasons they pull out are just comical. They're comical in the fact, one of them says, for instance, it violates the Social Security Act, which doesn't allow the Centers for Medicare Services to sanction the possession and use of illegal and dangerous Schedule 1 substances by Medicare patients without clear congressional authorization. Well, hello, this is not on Schedule 1. We're not talking marijuana. This is rolling out of hemp. Another thing is that we know that the regulations don't allow for regulatory oversight. Yeah. The FDA doesn't want to oversight us. The DEA has said no way, and I'm talking hemp industry. The DEA says no to cannabis altogether, marijuana type. But this is where we want to ensure that CBD is sourced from a legally compliant source with a high-quality farm and that the content does not contain more than 0.3% Delta-9 by dry weight and only up to 3 milligrams of total THC per serving. This is what we do all day long at Hemp Haven. We recommend microdosing, and of course, every product in our dispensary is already lab tested and safe and consumed by our recommendation. And this is the argument that the prohibitionists have now come up with, that, oh, it's illegal. What's hilarious is that just yesterday, as the CMS began to roll out this model, the pilot program, their judge has rejected their group, their group's injunction to block CBD and the THC Medicare coverage plan. And I think they're really trolling these people, because a hearing on the injunction arguments has been scheduled for 4:20.
Oh, that's perfect.
Let's meet on the stoner holiday. What's interesting is the judges, the federal judge, let me find his name, Judge Trevor N. McFadden, rejected the request from the prohibitionist, 10 prohibitionist groups, basically stating that a temporary and an injunction, an emergency injunction, can only be granted in extraordinary and drastic remedy situations. It can only be granted if a party makes a clear showing that four factors taken together warrant relief. Likely success on the merits, that's one. Likely irreparable harm in the absence of preliminary relief, that's two. A balance of the equities in its favor and accord with the public interest. All four of those are met by using hemp instead of marijuana. So their arguments, in my opinion, I'm not a lawyer, especially not a constitutional lawyer before the Supreme Court and in federal policies. So, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I just stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. To me, this all says that Schedule 3 is coming. It's going to take a while, as apparently these prohibitionist groups make a lot of money. In fact, one of the biggest prohibitionist groups, if you look at their background, is led by Jack Kennedy, RFK's nephew, and he is one of the leading prohibitionist lobbying groups, CEOs, and he gets paid a boatload of money to go up there on the Capitol Hills, and I'm sure state levels or wherever he needs to go, to lobby against cannabis in all forms. And now it includes hemp. We are 420, of course, stoners, right? Stoner holiday. We're having our own 420 specials, right? We're going to have, you know, the Mother's Day gift boxes for personalized by our lovely Faith. We're going to have sales on drinks, right? We want to promote these harm reduction drinks. We're going to have sales that allow you to come in and talk to us and review the products that we carry, because we now carry over 1,000 products. North Carolina has given me a gift. Virginia gave me the boot, and North Carolina has embraced us. And obviously, these hemp is going to just continue to build. And here is one of the most important, I think, announcements just recently, just out today, a new FDA memo issued by the FDA Commissioner Marty Markery has issued a memo stating that Medicare is more than willing and able to begin this CBD program, because in his two-page memo released today, Commissioner Markery has said the FDA does not intend to enforce sections of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act with respect to an orally administrated hemp-derived CBD product solely on the basis that it contains CBD. This means that we have entered the new era of cannabis as medicine. Last year, 2024, 2025, I'm an illegal drug dealer in Virginia. Thanks, Governor Youngkin. He shut down me, threatened to throw me in jail, forced me out of business, as he's forced every hemp business out of business in Virginia. Meanwhile, the paradigm has shifted, and Medicare is now approving under an FDA model, as well as the CMS model, reimbursement for up to $500 a year for CBD products. It is a new paradigm. We have entered a new era of cannabis legalization on both sides. It is my prediction, I'm going to put it out there right now, that by the end of this ride, I'm giving you a time frame, but by the end of this ride, I firmly believe that both marijuana and hemp are going to be regulated, probably with different levels of regulation, like we regulate alcohol spirits versus beer and wine. We're going to have that kind of model. And the paradigm has shifted drastically in just the last month, and I believe that we are on track. We're going to have to spend a lot of years unraveling the schizophrenia associated with cannabis as an industry. And the longer that we work with cannabis as medicine, at least in our little shop in North Carolina, the more that we improve our community's health.
Dr. Denise Foster, Hemp Haven Wellness. Go see her, 726 Caratoke Highway in Moyock, just below the Virginia border. She's open 7 days a week, her and her great team of cannabis nurses. And that's 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. An extra hour Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. She's open till 8 p.m. at 726 Caratoke Highway. Or check her out online. HempHavenWellness.com is the website. 252-340-3557.
Reminder.
The phone number.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, reminder, happy Easter, everyone. And yes. I close on Easter. I'm sorry, if you can't get your hemp products before then, come see us Monday.
That's fair. I'll allow it. I guess you deserve a day off.
Thank you very much.
Dr. D, always good to see you, man.
Thank you.
News Talk 790 WNIS.